Good morning, Emmanuel. How good it is to have you all back into the building at last, and hopefully towards a more settled life. Naturally, we are still under COVID-19 guidelines and must continue to exercise caution, even though the end may be in sight. Hopefully, you've picked up a copy of the order of service so you can follow it from that sheet. Just to say that Steve may pop up and take a couple of photographs which he wishes to put onto the website, just to show the world that we are now back into operation. It's really good to see Robert back into the pulpit this morning, and Jeff sitting at the organ, though he's struggling to get his leg over there. Well done, Jeff. They're both, of course, experiencing difficulties. Robert from long COVID and Jeff from his fall that he had. Please, both of you, take things carefully and slowly. But in saying that, of course, Robert next week will be at Highworth and Jeff will be leading the service here. So we do look forward to people being here again next Sunday at 10:30.
That's Jeff taking it slowly for you.
Sorry?
That's Jeff taking it slowly for you.
The following Sunday, the 30th, sees a joint partnership confirmation service at Christchurch at 10 a.m. Note the time. If you do intend to join that service and haven't already done so, would you please let Robert know at the end of today so we can let the people know at Christchurch. The election of elders is progressing and will shortly be announcing names of those willing to stand. The election will actually take place at the end of the morning service on June the 13th. In the meantime, details of how things are going to happen will be published in the weekly sheet. I think that's enough for me. I'll now light the Christ candle as we come forward to worship.
Good morning to you all, and really, really welcome. It's lovely to see you. I woke up this morning various times before it was actually the morning with a sense of excitement. I feel like a kid getting a new toy, if you understand the meaning. And this morning when I was reading the Bible, what came to mind is the same sort of excitement that I had just over 37 years ago for my first service after ordination. Don't ask me why. I've been doing it for 40-odd years, but today is a really, for me, it's a deep sense of excitement. So I'm grateful to see you. I can guess who most of you are behind the masks. You don't look any older than the last time I saw you. To what you say, neither do you, Robert, but okay, never mind. Happy are those who delight in the law of the Lord, says Psalm 1. The psalm which opens the book of Psalms as an introduction to what will be read later on. But for this Sunday, this is what we are called to remember. And we will be listening to the first hymn, not singing it yet. It will come, but we can't. And I felt that the best thing for us was to hear Emmanuel Organ, Emmanuel Choir. So the first hymn is the one that is in the last CD Emmanuel produced, May the Mind of Christ My Savior. So as long as you don't get too noisy humming it, I can't see your lips moving behind your mask, so if you're going to hum it, but be careful. We don't want the police storming the service.
May the mind of Christ.
Choir did well? Good. It's a bit late to complain now. I mean, it's been issued years ago. Obviously, I'm not the only one excited and pleased to be back. And our flower arrangement today represents that excitement and that sharing. Liz Gibney did the flowers, and I'm going to share some of her thoughts. Just to say that each of those flowers comes from a different garden of members of Emmanuel. So, and as you can see, they do look a little bit like us. Different shapes, why would I say that? even the pots are different. So Liz has been exploring new abilities during lockdown, and she says that some of the pots are a result of that. Here we all are, gathered together in one place, picked, nurtured, cherished, chosen. These flowers gathered from our gardens are like us, some bright, some muted, some weighed down, some supporting others, some raggedy and some ready to burst. Their peace and beauty has brought us this far, has given us a focus through the long months, and has brought us hope to start afresh. May that be an inspiration to us. Liz, you're on the way of becoming a minister or a writer of prayers. Honestly, I mean, I think that represents where we are feeling, who we are, and what we have experienced. And thank you very much. I think all Emmanuel would agree that we have a very talented group of flower arrangers, each one with different talents, with different abilities. But flowers are not there only to decorate. Most of our flower arrangements also make us think. I think you would agree with that. The prayer for this morning, the first prayer for this morning, is taken from material prepared by Christian Aid. And as you all know, today is the closing of Christian Aid Week. And once I've finished the prayers, they're very short little prayers, a succession of very short little prayers. We will join in the words of the Lord's Prayer, said softly, behind your masks, but God knows what we are doing. Let us pray. Giver of life, thank you for the light of each day and for your mercy, new every morning. Tune us into the rhythm of your will, renewing, restoring, and releasing creation so that we may be co-creators with you. Creator of the seas and the sky, in this time of climate crisis, as we pour out our feelings, pour in your spirit of hope and renew us to resolve the work together to stop this climate crisis. God of all the earth, you saw the land and called it good. Yet for so many today, droughts are prolonged, rains delayed, and crops have failed. Help us to work together with you and all creation to stop this climate crisis. God, who spoke stars into being, challenge Awaken and inspire us to raise our voices with the cry of the earth. The prophets throughout history and the prophets of today in our call for justice, climate justice for all. Creator God, thank you for the community of creation, for the wonder of sea creatures, for the magnificence of birds in flight, and for the whole family of humanity. Transform our individual isolation into natural connection for the flourishing of all and the glory of your name. Water of life, who quenches all our thirsts, become in us a spring that gushes up to eternal life, flowing through our giving, acting, and praying, that all may drink deeply from your abundance and all of creation may thrive. God of the Sabbath, forgive us for ignoring the rhythms of nature, for overextending the earth and each other. Instill in us sustainable ways of resting and enjoying the goodness of creation and protecting the earth with all our sisters and brothers. Amen. And we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our reading this morning is taken from John 17, reading verses 6 to 19. Jesus speaks to God his Father from the cross. Father, I have made your name known to those you gave me from the world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept their word. Now they know it, that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those who you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now that I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves, I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be.
Thank you, David. Sanctifying God, your gift to us is one who overcomes the system that enslaves and feeds upon the victim. Send us to your world to speak the truth of peace, to stand with those who suffer, to show another way. Through Jesus Christ, the Lord of all things. Amen. Jesus says more than once in this reading, in the world, while not of the world. But that sounds strange, not of the world. If we consider it's the only place we have to live. There are explorations for other possibilities, and a helicopter has flown on Mars, but it's not ready for us to live there, no matter how many films you've seen about it. And yet it is true. Or at least it should be true, in the world while not of the world. To see, in the Gospel of John, the words the world are all those elements, situations that go against the kingdom. It's not an anti-planet Earth. The world is the denial of the kingdom. Once we understand that meaning, we can realize quite clearly what Jesus is talking about. If you get the written version of this through the email later, you will see that each time in the written version I talk of this concept, the world will be in quotes, so that it's easier to pick up. The readings over the last few weeks have come from the Gospel of John and have taken sections from chapters 13 to 17. Those are the chapters that in the Gospel of John are the time of the Last Supper in the other three Gospels. A different story, a different approach to it, but it's the last time Jesus is with the disciples before he is taken to be judged, to be condemned, to be crucified, to be buried, and the resurrection. In John, it's the washing of feet, but after that, the whole reflection is to do with what love is and who we love. And the final chapter of that section is this chapter 17, which is a prayer. Quite a long prayer. And here Jesus refers to three things, and you can see the progression. He prays for the disciples, the closest circle he has, those you have given me. He prays for the people the disciples will reach, those who will believe through their word. And he prays for the world, so the world may no longer be the anti-kingdom. As we see, Jesus branches out. He widens to include the whole world. And this is what we're going to see next Sunday and Sundays following Pentecost, where things happen in an unexpected way. And while Jesus prays that they may not be in the world, he does remind us even now that we are in the world. They may not be of the world, but we are in the world. We live in this world. It's the only place we have to be disciples. And this is the struggle that believers have had since the beginning of times. In the world, though not of the world. And that makes it very complicated. and very difficult. So again in the prayer we pick up Jesus saying at least three times that they may be protected. That the disciples then and now may be protected. He also says that the evil one may not take over. And he has the beautiful words, may they be one as we are one. This is a clear prayer and a clear message. Jesus knows that the way ahead is going to be tough, and he knows that they will need all the help they can get. The disciples will suffer hostility, persecution, violence, simply for being disciples. And another reminder in anticipation that the Spirit will be that help. It will give them the words to say the right things at the right time. But since that very day, being disciples in the light of the kingdom makes us minority. It makes us minority. And if the numbers of the last census are anything to go by, the reality is that in Britain today, probably we'll get the final results, less than 40% of the population will identify as Christians. So it's not only minority in ethics and life, but in actual numbers who identify as such. Over the past years, we have seen how minorities have suffered, and in our lockdown, we have seen it, and they continue to suffer. Where the powerful exercise their power in a destructive way against those they see as different. Jesus experienced that firsthand. And today that opposition in the world, the anti-kingdom world, takes the form of race, gender, religion, economics, sexual orientation, ideology, age, everything. All that can be seen as minority, and there is much suffering. And the hardest thing of all is that so often in this story, religion has been used as an excuse for that suffering. In this prayer, Jesus also refers to those who have kept the word received. He says that at least three times. That faithfulness has also brought on opposition. The world hated them because they do not belong to the world. It's that tension between the world and the kingdom. We must be careful. We must try and discern, because Christians and or the church have chosen too often to follow the world instead of the kingdom. This reading can be the lighthouse that will show us the coastline of where we are living and what to do. As an aware light, not to fall in the trap set by the world, where it would seem that doing things could be right, and yet not always is right in the light of the kingdom. The reading, in other words, asks the big question, one that we have to ask continuously. What does the Lord require of us? And the prophet has responded, to do justice, to love compassionately, and to walk in God's path. Those three actions will often make us minority. Throughout history, the divide between the kingdom of the world has not always been clear. So what happens? Discernment is needed. What happens when those who are not Christians live more like Christians than Christians do? And don't tell me we haven't seen that. You've read about it, you know about it. What happens when those in power and the systems of control in this world call themselves Christians and yet keep the poor poorer and the rich richer? What happens when people who identify as Christians are responsible for extermination and destruction of others who also identify as Christians? This has happened. This continues to happen. In that case, the question is, Where is the world? Can the world be part of our Christian setup? And that is the question we will always have to ask ourselves. Are these the values of the kingdom? Are these the values of the world? Bear in mind that today is the close of Christian Aid Week. And much of the help needed is going to parts of the world where there is brokenness and pain and struggle and destruction. And our calling is to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live in respect with creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil. And we do this in the world, but not of the world. And questions keep coming and keep coming. And this simply reminds us that reality is not yes, no. Most of life, all of life, is lived in the in-between. That's where we live our life. In the in-between, in seeking, in trying to find out. If you get the newsletter for this week, the thought of the week comes from Mother Teresa. God has not called me to be successful. God has called me to be faithful. And that's when we start not being of the world, but yes, in the world. And that's what Jesus says. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. Jesus is aware of this. He knows the in-between we live. Therefore, being in the world but not of the world is vital. Not to deny the world we live in, but to accept that that is the world we're living in, but also means let's not accept the values of the world without discussion. They may look like the kingdom values, but are they? Matthew, we read, Lord, Lord, not all who say, Lord, Lord, should enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. When we become children of the Spirit, we will be led by the Spirit, speak the words of the Spirit, and do the will of the Spirit. But that's next week. But that's where we're heading to. And the world will not be the same after Pentecost. But we are in the world. But we are children of the kingdom. May that truth of God be our truth as well. Amen. We will hear a few minutes, not very long, of music from the community of Dizé.
In the darkness there is no darkness with you, Lord. The deepest night is clear as the day. In the darkness there is no darkness with you, Lord.
In our darkness, there is no darkness with you, O Lord. We will dedicate the offering that you left in the plates as you came in, both the offering for the church and the offering for Christian Aid that has been given today or has been sent to Christian Aid. Lord, in your love, you have given us so much, and from what we have received, from who we are, we give. And we ask your blessing on the offering, that it may serve your purpose. And we pray that Christian Aid may continue to serve those who are most in need in this world. To you be the glory, and to us your love. Amen. Wally will now lead us in the prayers of intercession.
To be back. And just before I do the prayers, I'd just like to read a funny little story for you. It's called Out of the Mouths of Babes. When our son Alex was 5, his teacher told me about a funny incident in the Bible class. She had been telling the children the story of the Good Samaritan. She related how the traveller was beaten, robbed, and left by the wayside, but other travellers failed to help. Then along came the Good Samaritan, who, after encouraging the traveller, stepped back into the road. "What happened next?" asked the teacher. Alex put up his hand and said, "He was run over." Kids, there were the prayers. First of all, let us thank God for every doctor, nurse, carer, paramedic, and scientist. We pray that they may have your strength and wisdom, and that the vaccine rollout may get more and more efficient and effective, not only here, but all over the world, and especially where COVID is rife and the countries are poor. We think of those not able to be here today, and any who are sick. May they know your presence and your healing. This pandemic has caused many to think more about their lives. May they feel drawn to you, the answer to all of our problems. And when there seems to be change all the time, we need to remember that you are the constant one. We pray now for your blessings on our partnership and our town. With things slowly changing for the better, may none of us forget you. We thank you for warmer weather, for the thought of being able to get away for a break, and the chance to do more of the things that we enjoy. Although Christian Aid has to be different this year, we pray that it may still be a big success in helping the poorest people and in combating the extremes of climate. Thank you, as always, in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Wally, so much. Communion, we wanted to have communion today as a nurture moment in our commitment, in our walk in life. It'll be very similar to the last time we celebrated communion. I think we have enough for everybody. If you see me rush out, it's because I'm getting ready for those. But I think we have for everybody. Please help yourself when Janet and David distribute to 2 glasses. In one, there is the bread, and in the other, there is the wine. The bread is gluten-free. So you all be taking of the same bread. It's much easier than otherwise. So no nuts, at least that's what the packet says, and gluten-free, that's what the packet says. But we will take the bread, and then we will take the wine. And then just leave them there, and before I leave, we'll collect the cups, put them through the dishwasher, and get them ready for the next time we use them. This is just to make sure that you all know what's happening, and it's easier for you not to worry what's coming. Thank you. Not yet. No. As we gather at this table, we remember that Jesus was born of Mary. He lived our common life on earth. He suffered and died for us. On the third day, God raised him from the dead, and he is always present with us through the Holy Spirit. In his presence and in the company of all the people, past, present, and those to come, we celebrate this supper. So come to the table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come, not because of any goodness of your own gives you the right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for us all. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. And the bread was broken and the cup was distributed. And the bread is broken already and the cup is present. A reminder of God's love, even in the midst of brokenness. So take the two cups. We'll have a word of prayer, short word of prayer. Eat the bread, a short word of prayer, and we'll drink the cup. Thank you. just enough for you to enjoy it. If you want the bread and this, okay. If you take the bread and the chalice, you've got your cups there. David will use it. It's okay, don't worry. Yes, yes, yes. Sit down. When Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When Jesus had given thanks, he gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood for the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink. Do it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Strengthen for service, Lord, the hands that have taken holy things. May the ears that have heard your word be deaf to clamor and dispute. May the eyes that have seen your great love shine with the light of hope. May the tongues that have sung your praise also speak the truth. May the feet that have walked in your house ever walk in the light. May the bodies that have tasted your living body be restored to newness of life. Thanks be to God for this gift beyond words. Amen. Amen. And our closing hymn, we listen to it. "My life flows on in endless song. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?" Well, hum behind the mask, as I said before.
My life flows on in endless song, above as lamentation. I catch the sweet though far of him that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?
Just before we finish our service, the unpleasant thing is, please don't linger here. I know you want to chat. You can't hug until tomorrow, so don't let me see anybody hugging anybody. We'll have to hand you over to the authorities. But please, for your welfare and the welfare of everybody, don't stay too long, and don't chat. Here, wait until you're outside, please, for obvious reasons. Thank you so much for that. And my invitation is that those of you who feel that they can stand at this moment, we'll close the service sharing the words of the grace. So look around if you can, but we bless each other with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Okay, you want to leave before I leave? It wasn't that bad. I miss one person for communion.
Yeah.
Me.
We like the mince.
The mince?
Mince.
Yes.